Well, thank you so much, Dorothy, for playing Be Still My Soul. That is absolutely, without any debate, my favorite hymn. You probably recall something about that hymn. It was sung by four missionaries on the banks of the sea down in South America, just before they would go in to take the gospel to an unreachable nation there up to that point. And they were martyred on the beach there. Jim Elliot, who was one of the four, had written just a few days before in his journal, "He is no fool who gives to God what he cannot keep in order to get what he cannot lose." And then they sang together as they embraced one another, "Be still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side." And with that, they died. I'm moved every time I hear that played. Maybe some Sunday we can sing it when I'm here, but I promise you, I will cry. It just hits me deeply, but I need to move on. I have just a very simple and brief devotion for you. Pastor Bill said that we want to do a hymn sing, and I'm excited about that, the great hymns of the church. So let me encourage you right now, be thinking about your favorite hymn, and we'll use our hymn books, of course, because they won't be on the screen. And so as you're thinking about that, we'll need you to shout out the name of your hymn and the page number for us, and we'll share that together. But before we do that, Pastor Bill asked if I would give just a very brief devotional, and I have kept my devotions very brief. I know that's difficult for a preacher to do, but I've done it, I promise. And so I'd like to read for you Joshua chapter 4, and just the first 9 verses. And I hope that sometime this week, maybe even today, you will open your Bibles to Joshua 4 and just read through this chapter. And then if you don't mind, if I could give you a little more homework, if you would flip to the very back last chapter, chapter 24 of this book. This is for your home reading when you get home. And read chapter 24 beginning at verse 24 through verse 28. So if you can remember that, 24 through 28 of chapter 24, and then chapter 4, 1 through 9, and you'll get the rest of the story of what I'm going to talk to you about for just a few moments. All right, Joshua chapter 4, verse 1. Listen carefully and hear God's word. When the whole nation, this is Israel, when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down in the place where you're going to stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and he said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan." Now, remember that as they entered into the Jordan, I'm just pausing here for a second, God caused the water to recede. So they're not into deep water. They're out where God had parted the water. And he says this, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you, each of the 12, is to take up a stone on his shoulder." So we're not talking about a little stone. We're talking about a boulder that a big, strong, burly man could carry on his shoulder. "Take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, The waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. Memorial stones. Why was that important? Because now, at last, they had crossed over the Jordan into the land that God had promised to them nearly 500 years ago to Abraham. And they had already spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness that they should not have spent, all because of their hard hearts and their disobedience against God. But now here they were, finally crossing the Jordan, getting into the land that God had promised them, their new home. And God said to them, through Joshua, pick one man from each of the 12 tribes, 12 men in all, and tell them to go out into the center of the Jordan where the priests are and pick up a big stone and carry it on their shoulder and take it over to the place where we're going to camp tonight and put those stones down. I'd love to know how they did that. What did it look like? I'm sure it was done in an orderly fashion. And there was a memorial of sorts built there of 12 large stones that was to constantly remind them every time they came down to the Jordan, there are the stones. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I remember God took us across the Jordan into our promised land that he had given to us, memory stones. Joshua 24, that I'll just tell you this much. Joshua does it one more time, only this time he takes just one single big stone and he says to the people, let's renew our commitment to God. And the people said, yes, let's do it. And so he said, he put the big stone down and he said, let's renew our commitment. The people entered into that renewal of commitment, and when he was done, Joshua pointed to that big stone, that big boulder, and he said to them, let this stone be a witness to you and me that we have renewed our commitment to be the people of God. This stone will witness against you if you don't. I bet you never thought that a stone could have ears and could hear your commitment and remind you of what God has done in your life. But it does. Do we have memorial stones today as Christians that when we look at, we go, oh yes, I remember. That's when Jesus entered my life and touched me. Do you know what? We do. Now, I'm only going to share three with you because I don't have time. I could share at least five or six, but I'll resist, okay? When you come into this sanctuary once a week every Sunday and you see the baptismal font, oh, that's a memorial stone, as it were, that says to you, I want you to remember that there was a day when you were given to Jesus, when your life was turned over to him, when you entered into the covenant with him and he placed his hands upon you and he accepted you as one of his own. Oh, yes, for many of you, perhaps for most of you, we Presbyterians, that happened when you were just a baby. But from that moment on, God claimed you as his own. He said to you, I want you in my family. And so when you come into the sanctuary every week, I want you to look at this memorial stone and remember you were given to Jesus. He claims you as his own, no matter what the week has been like. Here's a second one. What about this table? Every Sunday when we come in, we see this table. And of course, it's the table on which the holy sacrament of broken bread and poured out wine is placed. And this is a memorial stone to you and me, saying that this is how much it cost Jesus to redeem you from your sins. He gave his life. He shed his blood. And because of that, you are forgiven. And you have a seat reserved in heaven. This is a memorial stone. And it gives us an opportunity, because we were babies when this happened for many of us, it gives us an opportunity to renew our baptismal vow. When we come and take the bread and drink the wine, we go, yes, Jesus, I know you accepted me and took me in at that moment, and I'm just renewing myself to you now. Let me give you one more memorial stone. When you come into the sanctuary every week and you look around and you see brothers and sisters of the faith, you see fellow church members and fellow followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to remember your membership vows. Because as a result of the baptism and as a result of coming to the Lord's table, there was a moment in your life when you stood up before your Christian family, the church, the body of Christ, and you announced publicly your declaration of faith and said, I want to be a part of this family. I want to be a Christian, and I want to be a part of the family of Jesus. And so you gathered here today are a memorial stone that says to me and says to you, yes, I'm a part of this family. And I announced it. Now, it's also true, let me shift gears for just a final second, that we as a nation have memorial stones. Today's one of them, isn't it? Today being Memorial Day. But there are other memorial stones that our nation has. I think of July 4th, which is a memorial stone saying to us that's when we received our independence. I think of Thanksgiving, which says to us as a nation, yes, we have received our independence, but we are also a people who are interdependent, and we're grateful. And we have Memorial Day. I'm sure you've seen it. Going around on the websites these days is a good reminder. With this, I'll close. We have Armed Forces Day. In fact, that was just a week ago, did you know? Just a week ago was Armed Forces Day. And we honor those who are in uniform, serving. And then we have Veterans Day. We honor those who have hung up their uniform, but they've served us. And today we have Memorial Day of those men and women who never got out of their uniform, who died in them for you and me. Memorial stones. I want you to read more about that. And then here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about the memorial stones God has given to us as Christians. There are more. And what has God given to us as a nation to remember? Pray with me, please. Our Father, thank you for these memorial stones that continue to remind us that you're with us, you're present, your love and your grace is upon us. Thank you as a nation for these memorial stones that causes us to remember and to reflect and to be grateful. In the name of Jesus, we praise you for these moments together. Amen.